I sure hope you were able to be with us this morning in Bible class. Joshua led us in an excellent study of the faith of Abraham, and just a powerful study. And I hope you got to be a part of that. Today, as most all of you know, is the second Sunday in May, which means it's our theme week. And it also, by the way, is Mother's Day, and happy Mother's Day to all of you moms out there. We appreciate all that you have done for us, for your children, and for the loving manner in which you have devoted yourselves to your children. But today we are going to take a look at our theme, delighting in worship. It has been our theme since the beginning of the year, and it's based on Psalm 100, verses 3 through 5, as you see on the screen here, that we are to come before our great God, enter his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise and thankfulness to him, and bless his name. Now, last week, I found myself, I knew what I was wanted to preach on today, and I found myself having too much information, and so I made two lessons out of it. So last week, just by way of quick review, we took a look at Mark chapter 10 and the account where Jesus showed mercy to the, or shows mercy to those who ask him, and in that particular text, we looked at him healing blind Bartimaeus. And essentially from that lesson, what we looked at were certain facts about God and the fact that he is merciful. Psalm 103 verse 8 reads that the Lord is merciful and gracious. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 tells us that God is rich in mercy. Micah 7 verse 18, we looked at the Lord delights in extending mercy to people. And in Psalm 103 again verse 11, great is his mercy towards those who fear him. And so those were facts about God. And today we want to take a look at why we should be delighting in worship, because God is merciful. That ought to be a prime motivator in us delighting in the worship of God. So let's begin this morning with Psalm 103 and read that. It's David is the author of this psalm, and he is writing about the Lord. And in some ways, it is a call by David to remember God's mercy. And in other ways, it's a call to worship God because of his mercy. And we want to focus on those two ideas this morning. In Psalm 103, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Blessed be the Lord, or bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." He goes on in verse 6. This is, "The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, for he will keep his anger, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities." Verse 11, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Now, there are a number of observations that we could make from this text, but we're going to take a look at, break the text down here in a moment, and look at some important observations. But what we see here is that our God, he knows that we are dust. He knows that we are weak. He knows that we are frail. He knows that we sin. And yet great, great is his mercy. Great is his mercy. He abounds in extending it. It is interesting to me, as we take a look at the Hebrew writers' different words that are used in the Hebrew language to discuss the mercy of God. We see first in verse 4 of that text we just read that God redeems us from redeems our life from destruction. He says, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. This is the word rakam, and it means compassion. In verse 8, we see the Lord is merciful and gracious. He is slow to anger and abounding in mercy. We see the word merciful there used in verse 8, and that comes from that word rakam. But the second word mercy is from a different Hebrew word, and that word is kesed, and it means a love or affection that is steadfast and based upon loyalty or devotion. Now, we see in verse 8 here that the New King James renders this merciful, and the Holman Christian Standard and New American Standard renders it compassionate. In this second, where he's using this word kesed, it is translated differently in various translations, and I don't have them up there. But what we see here is the idea of loyalty or devotion. The King James Version renders it plenteous in mercy. The English Standard Version renders it steadfast love. The New American Standard is loving kindness. The Holman Christian Standard is faithful love. Now, what I want us to see here, I forgot I did have those up there, is that there's a close link between God's loyal love and his compassionate mercy. And David is talking about both of these in this text. So as we take a look and break down now what he was saying, just quickly to make a few observations. What David is talking about is God and his mercy, of course, but he's talking to himself. Notice in the verse 1 and 2, as he begins those verses, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. He's talking to himself. And what is extremely powerful, at least in my mind, is in verse 1, where he says, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Every ounce of his being he's talking about, everything deserves praising and blessing of God. And he says in verse 2, and forget not all of his benefits. Now, he's serving to remind himself of the many blessings which he calls God's benefits to him. So he says, God is worthy of praise and honor and bless his name for all of his benefits. And he says, let my entire being, all that I'm consisted of, the very essence of my being, let it all praise God. Powerful thought. He then goes on in verse 3, and he talks about how God forgives our iniquities. He forgives, or he pardons our sins, our commission of sin, as well as our failing to do what we know we ought to do. But I want you to notice one thing here. What he's saying is that God does this on an ongoing basis. Do you notice the tense of the word forgive? It isn't something that he didn't say God forgave my iniquities and by extension our iniquities. He says he forgives. It's present tense. It's an ongoing action on the part of God. He continually exercises forgiveness and mercy. Of course, we know from 1 John chapter 1 that does require confession on our part. We need to confess our sins, but he is eager to extend that mercy. And he also says in verse 3 that he heals all of our diseases. In other words, there is no sickness or human illness that is beyond his ability to heal. He goes on then in verse 4, and David reminds himself again. He says that the Lord ransoms us from destruction. Some translations render that Sheol. The idea is that the Lord redeems us from the disaster of hell, and he encircles us with his love and tender mercies. I found that was an interesting concept, where he tells us here that he crowns you with loving kindness. And I looked up that word crowns, and it really, in the Hebrew word, means encircles. That God's love and his tender mercies, his compassions, just surround his people. In verse 5, he says God satisfies our years with good things, our mouths with good things. In essence, what David is saying here is that there is nothing that he has or is or can do that has not been a gift from God. And God crowns us with these loving kindnesses and compassions. And so David is calling himself to remember, as well as calling himself to worship God with praise, knowing that everything that he has that is good comes from God. And certainly that is exactly what James tells us in our Wednesday class. We've been studying James. Tells us in chapter 1, verse 17, that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or change. And so David is revealing to himself things that he wants to remember. And I might just add to that. That's something that we need to think about. That's something that we need to remember ourselves. We need to remind our souls of the Lord's benefits. We need to be stirred up to remember what the Lord has been doing and is continuing to do for us daily. You know, with that kind of mindset that is being expressed here by David in this psalm, it's no wonder that the Jews in the New Testament times would go to the temple in Jerusalem and sing and shout out to one another. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 11, which reads, "Give thanks to the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." This was something that was on the mind of worshipers in the temple in the days of Christ, the wonderful mercy of God. You know, Jeremiah also wrote the book of Lamentations, and Lamentations really consists of five poems that Jeremiah penned, lamenting the destruction of Jerusalem during the time of the Babylonian surge and the Babylonian captivity. Jeremiah reveals just the tragic scene of how the Lord's people had been so corrupted by idolatry that the only thing that they were fit for was destruction. And we know from the prophet's writing in the book of Jeremiah that he had tried his best to get the people to repent from having forsaken God. And his mourning in the book of Lamentations reveals God's righteousness as well as his mercy. And perhaps one of the most powerful passages in the book of Lamentations is chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Here he is praising the Lord for his righteousness, for his mercy, for his faithfulness. But there are four things in these few verses here that I really want us to focus upon in the rest of our lesson together. And they are simply these four points: that the Lord's mercies are impossible to be consumed. Secondly, the Lord's compassions will never fail. Thirdly, the Lord's compassions are new every morning. And fourthly, the loyalty of the Lord's faithfulness is beyond measure. It cannot be measured. And so the point is very clear that the Lord never will stop loving us. His loyal love cannot run out. His merciful love cannot dry up, and his faithfulness is absolute. I pray and have prayed already that all of us will be greatly moved as the Lord talks to us through his word this morning, and that our faith and our strength will be invigorated by the message. So as we take a look at the first point, that through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, the fact that the Lord exercises or the Lord's mercies are impossible rather to be consumed. We see in this thought the idea that mercy in the midst of trouble. Again, when he is penning those words in Lamentations, Israel had been in the midst of great trouble. And the fact that this statement appears really in the book of Lamentations is quite remarkable in and of itself. Jeremiah had just witnessed the tremendous wrath of God being poured out in great measure upon his sinful people. Jeremiah had just witnessed that. You know, their armies, the armies of Israel had been decimated. You know, all of their cities had been looted and burned. And, their men were killed. Women and children were captives and taken to Babylon, put into slavery, having to travel hundreds and maybe even 1,000 miles or more to a foreign country where they lived among people who hated them. But still, in the midst of all this weeping over this national calamity, Jeremiah begins to praise the Lord that his mercies cannot be consumed. And so we might ask ourselves, what is the application for us today? What are we to learn? How is that to encourage us? Well, we are experiencing tough times right now, troubling times with the pandemic. I don't need to tell you that. We're all experiencing it in a variety of ways. But God's word is sending us a note this morning of encouragement to look up and to find hope. Our merciful Lord is still on the throne, and he will not allow us to be consumed. What marvelous promises from a merciful God. The second thing that we learn is that the Lord's compassions will never fail. In this, we see a double assurance of God's love. Jeremiah has used two different words, just like we looked at earlier in Psalm 103. But he uses two different words for God's feelings for his people as proof that he will never stop loving them. One of them is chesed, mercies. In other words, it is a sworn love. That's what this means, a sworn love or affection that is steadfast, based upon loyalty, devotion, in relationship to a covenant. And we see this in the covenant promise that the Lord made with Israel back in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. Here we see this word chesed, God's deep loyalty and devotion connected with his covenant promise. In verse 9, it says, therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. This is the very nature of God. He has made an oath with himself, because he can't make swear by anything greater than himself, Scripture tells us, that his affection is steadfast and it is loyal and devoted to his people. And we see that that was especially true of Israel when they were being unfaithful. But in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 8, notice what he says, but because the Lord loves you and because he would keep oaths with which he swore to you, to your fathers. So here we see this connecting of this great assurance of God's love connected with his covenant promises. In the second word that is used, again, comes back to that racham word in the Hebrew, and it's related to the Hebrew word for womb. This is very interesting as well. The Hebrew word for womb, suggesting a mother's love and faithfulness. Now, racham, in other words, is God's mother-like tenderness. Well, there's a happy Mother's Day thought for you, that God demonstrates a mother's-like tenderness for his people. That's the kind of mercy that he shows. As David had said in Psalm 103, I like the English Standard on this, says, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. So here we see God has these mother-like tendencies, this mother-like love, that no honest, real mother is ever going to turn away their love from their children. And that's the imagery we have here in the meaning of this word racham, that God cannot turn away his love for you. He cannot turn away his love for his people. And so again, we look at where's the application for us? You know, as part of God's new covenant promises in Christ, he has sworn a steadfast love for us and all those who will obey him, become his children, that take advantage of the marvelous grace in the gift of Jesus and what his blood can do by way of sanctifying us and cleansing us and reconciling us to God from our sins. That's a covenant promise that God has made. He's sworn that. We also are told in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24, if we're a Christian, if we're following the Lord and we're his children, we've been sprinkled with the blood of the covenant. In other words, again, just emphasizing that God cannot turn away his love for us. He will not abandon his love because it's based upon his faithfulness, who he is, and his mother-like love for us will never fail toward us. You know, as we really take a moment here to ponder these facts, We've got to ask ourselves, how could one of his children not delight in worship of such a wonderful, merciful Father? The third point for us to consider this morning is the Lord's mercies are new every morning. You know, I've read that before, but it just never hit me like it did in studying for this sermon. Why? Why are God's mercies renewed every morning? Have you ever pondered that? Every morning when the sun comes up, God wants us to have a fresh proof of his unchanging love and compassion. Now just meditate upon that thought for just a moment. You know, we woke up this morning to a new beginning. Yesterday's problems may still be lingering today, but we're going to be faced with a bunch of new challenges today. And that might have to do with some of yesterday's problems, but we've got new challenges every day. What are we going to face today? Each day has its own trials and difficulties. Jesus told us that, didn't he, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, when he told us not to worry, don't borrow from tomorrow's troubles, because each day has enough troubles of its own. Take it, life a day at a time. Our Father knows that, and he gives us new and fresh mercies and compassions that are just what we need for each day. You know, think about that. How wonderful our God is, that he knows that today is going to have, and he's going to provide us with the mercies that are new and fresh to handle what we have to face today. You know, it might be something as simple as getting up in the morning and seeing that we've had a light rain. And it might be hearing the birds chirp. Might be seeing that pesky squirrels running across the yard trying to get to the bird seed and fill his belly. It might be something as simple as that. You know, the Lord has told us, Jesus did in Matthew chapter 6, 25 through 32, how much God cares for us, how he takes care of the birds in the fields. He clothes them with the lilies and the grass of the fields, and how he takes care of us and how he loves us so much more than those. Every morning is going to bring new temptations. I don't know about you, but you know, it seems that you can scarcely get your eyes open in the morning until some kind of a negative thought or wrong thought enters into our brains. Or maybe that some careless words come out of our mouth. Reminds us that we are constantly in need of the Lord's forgiveness. Every morning is going to bring new temptations. And we have his promise that if we'll confess those things, he will forgive us. Each day also brings us new duties. We don't know what the day holds. Maybe the Lord is going to provide an opportunity for us to tell one about faith in Christ. Or maybe it's to serve someone who is in need, or to encourage someone who is sick or on a bed of illness or something along that line. We all need the Lord's servant's heart to accomplish these tasks every day. And he shows his mercy to us in so many ways. And so what is the application? The Lord wants us to know that he is a daily force in our lives. The Lord's mercies are new every morning. And not only that we can depend upon his mercies. And so let's be looking for them. You know, one of the things that I know this pandemic has done for me is it slowed me down. Maybe not in my talking during sermons, but it slowed me down in my thinking to really just to pause and to look for God working in my life. Actually taking the time to look for those mercies and what blessings they are. Things that when we're so wrapped up in living life and just doing normal everyday things that we just don't take the time for. Our last point is the loyalties of the Lord's faithfulness and how they are beyond measure. Great is your faithfulness. You know, the Hebrew word for faithfulness, it means firmness. It means stability, and it means fidelity. It's something that we can depend upon, that we can trust in. It is the idea of a foundation upon which something is built. And so this word is describing God's unmovable character. He is permanent. He is reliable. You know, when the storms of life come our way, and they will, we can know that God will be there in all of that, in all of his power. He is a solid foundation. He is that rock upon which we can build. He is that anchor that the Hebrew writer talks about that we can take hold of no matter how high those waves crash against us and those winds blow and beat on us, as Jesus said in Matthew 7. 24 through 27. You know, I got to looking at various passages that talk about the faithfulness of God. There are several things that he is especially faithful to do. One of those is he's faithful to finish the good work that he's begun in us. You know, in Philippians 1 and verse 6, Paul said that. He says, we can be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. If we will yield in submission to our Lord's mercy and grace, he will finish what he started in us right up to the time that Jesus comes. What a wonderful, faithful God we have. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6, he's faithful to chasten us. He says, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives. And the Hebrew writer tells us not to forget that whenever the Lord chastens us, it's because he loves us. It's because he wants the best for us. But that's one of the areas that the Lord is faithful in. We also see that he's faithful to forgive us whenever we confess our sins, as we've been talking about in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. We have the fact that his fidelity can be trusted to forgive our sins. He's also faithful to sympathize with our burdens and our problems. The Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, and chapter 4, verse 15. He says, therefore, in all things, he had, meaning Jesus, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. And in chapter 4:15, he says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He is faithful to sympathize We also see that he is faithful to deliver us in times of temptation. We read this passage a lot, don't we? No temptation has overtaken us except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but will with the temptation also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God provides the way. He is faithful. He can be counted upon. He's also faithful to keep us in this life right up until the next one. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. God will be with us right until Jesus comes again, and then we're with him forever. He is also a faithful creator in whom we can commit ourselves. In 1 Peter 4:19, therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. And lastly, we see that God will fulfill all of his promises. We know that from Joshua chapter 23 and verse 14, where he tells the children of Israel before his passing. He says, behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. In other words, he was going to die. And he says, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. Does that want you to delight in worship over God being merciful? You know, as we conclude the lesson, our primary goal in this lesson was to look at how God is merciful to us and how that should be a motivation, a natural response to delight in praise and in worship of him for that mercy. I hope we will think about these points. Things that God has told us today in his word about himself, his faithfulness, his love, his fact that he's merciful. But you know, the mercy of God was the reason for the death of Jesus. He loves people, and he gave his only beloved son that whoever should believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. If you're listening and you're not a Christian, I sure wish you'd become one. So does God. And if you'd like to study more about that, I'd be happy to do that. We have any number of folks here at Westside that would be glad to get with you, open up God's book and see what he tells you. It's really not difficult. It's simple. It's a plan of redemption to redeem us from our sinful lives. And his mercy is so great, you can't even measure how great it is. Think on those things. Contact us if we can be of help.